As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord God, you sent your word to bring us truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them, we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons. You reveal yourself by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Last year, a friend of mine, Sandy, gave me three beautiful miniature roses for my birthday. And I went to Springtime Nursery and I bought this large planter. And I planted these three rose bushes together. And over last summer, they did really, really well. All I had to do was water them. And they flourished and they had these beautiful, tiny, adorable little roses. Unfortunately, as every gardener knows, they did not fare well during the winter. And this summer, they had this weird black blight. Yeah, you're all laughing because you all know about roses. They had this weird black blight and the new blooms disappeared. Now, I'm not sure if that was a deer or some other insect. Anyhow, and then the dreaded aphids. I have since found out that cultivated, genetically modified commercial roses need a lot of water, and you have to give them plant food. You have to buy plant food. Oy. But the two wild roses growing on either side of my house produce tons of flowers without any help from me. They have survived everything nature throws at them. Wind, rain, snow, doesn't matter. They don't need any special attention. I don't have to buy rose food for them. And they just grow with abandon. They're beyond my control. Roses are one of my favorite images of the Trinity. Like the wild rose, the Trinity is not about human endeavor and striving and plant food. It is because it is, and we have no control over it. Now, for this image to work properly, you must have a rose growing in the earth, not a cut one. So the roots represent God, although invisible and hidden, gives life to the rest of the plant and are vital to their life. The stem and the flower represent Jesus, the living, visible, beautiful identity of the rose. And the pervasive, wafting, wondrous fragrance of the flowers remind us of the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine of Hippo, tradition has it, was struggling to understand the doctrine of the Trinity, so he decided to go for a walk on the beach. We saw a little boy digging a hole in the sand with a seashell. The boy then ran off to the ocean and he filled the shell and he rushed back and he poured it into the hole he had made. So St. Augustine says, "What are you doing, my little man?" And the boy says, "I'm trying to put the ocean into this hole." And Augustine suddenly realized that this was precisely what he was trying to do, to fit the great mysteries of God into his mind. The doctrine was a response on the part of the 3rd century church fathers, the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, to clarify and understand who God is and what God does. You know, it was a way, and this is the thing with doctrine, it was a way of preventing unorthodox beliefs and heresies in those times, okay, from infiltrating the early church. The Trinity pushes us in a larger way about God, and in doing so, prevents us from having an inadequate view of God. It takes God out of a box, and like the wild roses, are set free. It prevents us from thinking that God is something we can control, that God is something we can handle. You can just let him go. Martin Luther said, "It is God who handles us and not we who handle God." The doctrine of the Trinity represents our admission that we cannot tame God to fit God into our tiny little systems. God will not fit into the palm of our hands so that we can hold him down. The psalm we heard this morning, Psalm 8, takes us back to a time before Christ and to the reflections of an author seeking to understand the wonder of God's presence. Here is someone who was able to lift his eyes up from the hardships of his life and give thanks for God. Perhaps rather than trying to understand the Trinity, we might allow ourselves to just wonder about God. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, all sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whoever walks in the paths of the sea, how exalted is your name. Does that sound like a God that we can capture in our hands and put into a bottle? Does that sound like the Jack in the Box that we can just crank it up and it pops up? God is the bigness of the Trinity, three in one, powerful. Listen to these words. Mighty, enthroned, majestic, uncontainable, and yet because of the power of the Spirit, knowable in Jesus Christ. And I think that part of the human condition, I'm just going to ignore him because he's going to give me a, part of the human condition is to regard God as a sort of biological specimen that can be pinned down beneath the microscopic slide, to be studied at our own condition, at our own convenience, and under the conditions of our own choosing. The wise and challenging words of Augustine are worth remembering. If you can understand it, it's not God. God lets us see him in a particular way. The doctrine of the Trinity is a summary of the story of God's dealing with his people. It tells the story of how God created and redeemed us. And it hits the high parts of the story. God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier of the people of God. To affirm the personhood of Father, Son, and Spirit is not to suggest that there are three gods, but simply that one God, and this is the thing here, can be experienced and encountered in different ways, which are all valid. The doctrine of the Trinity does not explain how it is that God is able to be present in these remarkable ways. It merely affirms that God is available in this way. It is the inevitable wrestling of the Christian experience of God. And God is active in the world by what he does in the lives of us, who God created in history. The three-in-one God points us to creation, the law and the prophets, the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Pentecost, when God, the Holy Spirit, manifests in a real and living force within you and I. What does Paul say? And God gives us the hope to pour love into our hearts. God is not our concept or idea, which we can kick around at leisure and lecture in seminar rooms. God is the living God, the incredible power that created and continues to create this vast universe and all that is in it. And Christians respond to God as revealed in Scripture in our experience of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Here's the thing. If you and I had just invented an idea of God, then we could make it really simple. But the point is, we did not invent God. We do not have control over God and the way in which God reveals himself. Because the doctrine of the Trinity is a statement about God, it is not a statement about us. It is bigger than you and I could ever imagine. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the picture of the iceberg? Looking at it from a ship or an airplane, it would be easy to overlook something about the iceberg. You know, we can see all the rugged features on top, but we're only seeing a fraction of its bulk. Where's most of the iceberg? Under the water, that's right. Hidden from our view beneath the waterline. The bit of the iceberg we notice and that attracts our attention is the tip, kind of the top of the text. It is the tip which stands out. So some may conclude that that's all there is to the iceberg. It can be shown without much difficulty that the vast bulk of the iceberg is there to be discovered. Similarly, what we know about God seems very simple. The great affirmation that God loves us and affirms us and meets us in Jesus Christ and takes us home to him. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. What seems simple on the surface is actually more complicated. When we speak of God and the Holy Trinity, when we formulate doctrines of the Trinity, when we worship God as Trinity, when we greet, bless, and baptize people in the name of the triune God, we do this in great humility, realizing our God is so much more than this. So we'll never be able to capture God, to put God in a neat package of our own making. God shall always remain more than words and doctrines, our beliefs and expressions of worship, our purest intentions and actions, because God is the holy God. And that means there's a mystery about God which is tremendous because it's awesome and overwhelming, and we are unable to grasp it. We live and move, you all know this one, say it. We live and move and have our being. In God's energy, the God of creation, the God of Calvary, and the Spirit God of Pentecost. We don't need to be experts on the Trinity. It is not the doctrine which is the basis of our faith. It is the living God whom we meet in Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So the next time someone asks to explain God, the Holy Trinity, remember this story as told by Archbishop Desmond Tutu in his book, Hope and Suffering. Anthony Bloom, the Orthodox master of the spiritual life, told the story of a simple Russian country priest and an eminent scientist confronted him with apparently devastating arguments against the existence of God and declares, "I do not believe in God." I love this one. The uneducated priest quietly says, "Oh, it doesn't matter, because God believes in you." God believes in all of us. Because God believes in us, we are able to worship and serve the God of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So does the Trinity make sense now? Right. And this is good news. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this day we live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God. Have mercy on us. Amen.